As a church, we want to do what those readings encourages us to do, which is to praise the Lord and with gratitude in our hearts sing hymns and songs. We love good hymns here at St. George's, and we love good classic hymns, and we love good new songs, and we try to make the most of both. And over the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to preach on hymns and songs, including Christmas carols when it gets closer. Because we want to try and make the most of both, in helping to encourage one another to praise the Lord and in reminding one another and ourselves of some of the important truths of the Christian faith. And we are so glad in this church to have live musicians to lead the singing in our main services, including the different bands which lead us here in this 11 o'clock service. And most of all, we want to sing the good hymns and songs that people want to sing. So in September and October, we held a little poll to discover St. George's favourite hymn. And we worked out the results for each weekly service. Thank you very much to David for doing all that work. And overall, over all of the 4 regular weekly services, this was the result. Drum roll. Coming in at number 3, Be Thou My Vision. Coming in at number 2, In Christ Alone. Coming in at number 1, How Great Thou Art. And there's a meeting of music leaders in a week or two, and we'll seek to feed the results from the whole vote into our choice of hymns and songs week by week. But for now, we're going to preach on some of the favourites, and in particular, the one that came number 1 for this congregation, which was In Christ Alone. It is a great song. I think some people were sort of put off it a bit because it was a bit overdone, probably, when it first came in. And that's often the problem with good songs and hymns. But it is a great song with a straightforward tune, a measured pace, and that soaring phrase about halfway through as you go into the second half of each verse, which enables us to express the great truths of Christian belief joyfully and boldly. In Christ Alone was published around about 2000-2001, so it's reasonably new. The tune was by a man called Keith Getty, who comes from Northern Ireland, and the words were mainly by Stuart Townend, who's a Yorkshireman who lives down south now. And they've written some great songs together. I've been fortunate to see them in action explaining how they do things when I've been at the Keswick Convention, which I like to go to each summer. And they've both been there leading the worship over the years. And I once went to a seminar where both of them were together and explained how they worked. And here's how it is. Getty writes a load of tunes and sends them to Townend. Sometimes, alongside the tunes, he suggests a theme that might be appropriate for a particular tune. Townend goes through all the tunes and tries to pick 1 or 2 or 3 that he likes and then writes some lyrics for it. And then they would bounce that song back and forth until they were both happy with it. And I think In Christ Alone has been their most popular song in Britain, in the US, and in Australia and New Zealand. Have a look at it, actually, as I go through it now. It's there in the Glory to God songbook. It should be in the back, number 338. These brown or orange songbooks. Hopefully you've got a little supplement in the back, number 338, In Christ Alone. Actually, it's quite a challenge to preach on this because there is so much in it. And I think that's one of the helpful things about the hymn that people like. And basically, verse 1 is about Jesus and what he gives to us. If I am in him alone, then Jesus is my hope, my light, my strength, my song, my cornerstone, and solid ground, firm whatever life throws at me. Jesus is all of these things in a way that no one else can be if I put my trust in him alone. It goes on, he's amazing. Heights of love, depths of peace. He gives like no one else gives. And in him and in his love, I can stand tall. That's what verse 1 is about. And so as well as being like a creed, where we're expressing things about Jesus, it's also a personal statement, isn't it? And that's why people find it helpful. The difference that Jesus makes to my life is expressed in this hymn as well. Well, verse 2, and it goes on about the most important things about Jesus. Verse 2 is about his life and his death. And so it starts with Jesus' birth in Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. And then it goes on to talk about his suffering and death. And one of the purposes of this hymn is that it makes very clear the main achievement of his death. On that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. And Jesus didn't deserve to die. He did not sin. He deserved no death. Yet he chose death as a sacrifice for others so that they could be saved from their sins. And so the sins of others were laid on him, and he took the penalty of death associated with those sins so that others, any others who turned to him, could have life instead of death. Now, this is clearly Church of England doctrine from our prayer book. But what I've noticed is that this line is also a controversial issue in some places. One North American hymn book changed the words from "Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied" to "Till on that cross as Jesus died, the love of God was magnified." Well, the love of God was magnified, but the way in which it was magnified was through the satisfaction of God's wrath. Now, one interesting and slightly disturbing thing is that some churches, including Chester Cathedral, have done the same and changed the lyric. It's been there when I've sung at Chester Cathedral. But that change of words, as well as being illegal, is inconsistent with our Church of England heritage. And Townend has refused permission to alter the words. It's his copyright, certainly in this country, even if the Americans want to ignore it. Townend wants a Bible-inspired understanding of Jesus' death. And that's one of the reasons he wrote the song in this way. Jesus' death as sacrifice for sin, substitutionary atonement. Jesus died an undeserved death so that I can live an undeserved life and be full of gratitude for what he's done in that great exchange. And that is why Jesus' death alone can save us and make us right with God. And it's good that this song has at its heart such strong Christian doctrine based on the Bible and followed through in the doctrine of the Church of England. Verse 3, no surprise here, is about Jesus' resurrection from death. This song is like singing the creed. The most important beliefs in Christianity are here. And so we can respond we can respond to what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us, and receive Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection so that we can be free from the curse of death and can share in Jesus' victory over death and so be with him forever. That's what verse 3 is about. And verse 4 develops this confidence for the future. Jesus living in me opens out a different future. No burden of guilt, no fear of death. And what great gifts these are. These are so often the things that slow people down and put them off life. One of the things I've noticed in the last week or two is that there has been heightened fear of death among so many people in the West as well as in other parts of the world. But this song reminds us of that Bible truth, that in Christ alone there's no burden of guilt, there's no fear of death, there is a future with Jesus which is secure and cannot be taken away by anyone or by anything. So if you want to know the life-transforming truths of Christian faith, they are here in this hymn. It's a cracker. And we're going to sing it in just a moment. But can I just say as well, over the next three Sundays, we'll be preaching on other favorite hymns and carols. And, well, it's a good thing to do, isn't it? And did everyone get their little sheet with the results on? Hopefully you can see your votes reflected in that as well, if you voted the end of September, beginning of October. It was only just number one, wasn't it? In Christ alone. But it's a good number one, and we're going to stand and sing it now.